Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Aquarius.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for the month of April 2022, so it is the Pokemon Show.
You just said all that with, like, rubbing your eyes. You look like you're in pain.
I mean, maybe, like, deep down I'm in some sort of emotional distress, but no.
Do you need a hug?
No, definitely not.
I got plenty of hugs for you, man.
Hell no, you stay
locked and loaded in the chamber, ready to go.
That is just repugnant.
I won't invade your personal space.
Thank you.
You can stay. Keep a distance.
Because I've been farting a lot, so it's probably for the best.
It's healthy, though, man. It's good to fart. Shouldn't cage those bad boys.
That's how spontaneous combustion happens.
That's exactly right.
That's what I learned in South Park.
Mm-hmm.
But what were we saying? Pokemon. That's
just
what we're
the Pokemon
about.
Show.
Yeah, yeah. We got a few different things we can talk about. We can talk about, like, some Pokemon games that have been coming out. We can talk about that there Pokemon Go, if there's anything going on there.
Plenty is ahead.
Some Arceus. Because we've both been plugging away on that. I've been playing some...
I believe it's now Arceus.
Oh, okay.
We're going to say it correctly, Arceus.
Okay, it works for me.
I doubt it's Arceus.
It is now.
Is it? Yeah.
We're playing Arceus.
This is the Nintendo Show.
Yes.
This is the Nintendo podcast. That's fair. To decide.
We do get to decide.
Yeah, from our lips to God's ears, man. This is what's up.
So, how's that there Pokemon Go? Let's start there.
Oh, it is fantastic. I actually don't have my phone on me, so I can't bring it up. But, we're coming off a whole series of events that just happened. They just had the big community day a little while ago. They had... a bunch, every Tuesday they do like a spotlight Pokemon, and they just had a really good streak of them. They had Growlithe 1 week, so I got a shiny Growlithe, which is nice.
Very
cool.
They
had what is it, Bonsly becomes the
Sudowoodo.
Yeah, and the thing about Sudowoodo that's really cool is that it was double catch experience, and it's one of the Pokemon that has just like a giant circle to hit, so it's a fairly easy target to hit with curve throws.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did a lucky egg that day and got like 100,000 experience. Pretty good.
Is that enough for like a fifth of a level?
For me, that's not even that. That's 2% of a level thereabouts.
Very good.
Yeah, about 1.5%. I need about 6 million. I need 6 million experience to get from level 40 to 41.
Oh my god!
But I've already got 5.2 million experience, so I'm actually churning this one real quick.
What's the level cap now?
50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's actually a really obnoxious challenge that I think to get from level 48 to 49, you need to have, I think, something like 30-ish platinum status things, which is really fucking difficult to achieve. Some of them are just, like, absurd challenges that you have to do. Like, one is, I think, literally going 15,000 kilometers is your step counter. Like, that's an obscene amount of distance. You can get one for every type, though. I think you only have to catch 2,500 of every type. Individual type, and you'll get a reward for that.
Hmm.
Some are easier than others, though. Like, there's evolution ones, so you can evolve like 2,000 Pokemon, you get the platinum status. There's some funnier ones. Like, I think you have to catch like 300 extra large Magikarps.
Okay.
You get one of every single unknown unlocks a platinum status. There's various ones you can get. Neither here nor there. We're coming into the new month, so literally tomorrow for April Fools, they said there's going to be a Ditto like event that's going to happen. There's going to be some small achievements you can do. Not the craziest thing in the world, but Ditto can be shiny, so it's fun to hunt for that.
Yeah, but at the same time, what if they just don't do that?
What do you mean?
That's the April Fool's thing. That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Like they're saying there's all these Dittos, they're going around catching things, and none of them are a Ditto.
Yeah, yeah. So they say they're doing something forced by April Fool's, and then, yeah.
That's pretty fun. Yeah. I like that. Subversive.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you can catch a Ditto anytime. But usually there's only a circulating two or three types of Pokemon it can be, and there's like a 1% chance it's that.
Hmm. So do they tell you, like, Ditto is, like, for this month?
If you look up the info online, someone has cracked the code and will tell you what it is. It just, yeah, it rotates. Usually it's something fairly obvious. I think right now it's, what do you call it? It's like a little dog-looking Pokemon. It's got three forms. It's Herdier.
Oh, okay. So...
Lillipup, thank you. Yeah. So Lillipup is always one right now, but it's probably they're gonna rotate out in and out some new Pokemon, so it'll be that. Big thing that I'm doing is I'm saving up candies to max out my Shadow Mewtwo. I have a Shadow Mewtwo that's like almost perfect. It's only missing like one bar to be like absolutely perfect, like 100% perfect. And I've got 330 candies saved up for it. Once I get to 375, I will max this bad boy out, and it will be far and away the strongest Pokemon I have. It'll be 4,100 CP, which is even stronger than, like, a Slaking, which has just gnarly stats. That's pretty sweet. Oh, yeah, so after that, and anyone that's keeping up with this kind of stuff, there's going to be a Team Rocket event early in April. They're doing two community days this month, which is fucking awesome. On the 10th, they're doing a... Mudkip? They're doing a throwback one, so it's Mudkip. We'll have, like, 1 in 25 shiny odds, which is just, like, just walk around your neighborhood, go find one that's shiny. Not Marsh Stomp. What's the fully evolved form of that guy?
Swampert.
Swampert's one of the top meta PvP fighters in the game, so people really, really like him a lot. So now's your chance to get one shiny, get one with really great stats, do all that shit, get tons and tons of candies for doing it. Really, really worth it.
It's weird that Swampert would be that way.
It's great type. It's a really, really good type. You got two weaknesses.
He's a really good Pokemon, like even just for like a general playthrough of any generation. Really solid one to have.
Yeah, it hits hard, has really good move diversity, and it's pretty tanky. And again, just two weaknesses is all you got to worry about with it. There's going to be a Team Rocket event, so if you catch Shadow Pokemon, they always come with this move Frustration, which sucks. But whenever there's a Team Rocket event, you can scrub that off of it and get a better move. So like this Shadow Mewtwo I have, it currently has Frustration. I think on the 3rd is when this happens, I'll be able to scrub that out of there, and it'll have an even better move. I'm a big fan.
And Frustration, does it work... Like in Pokemon Go, the way it works in the game where your lower friendliness gives more base power?
Not really. Because it doesn't really measure friendliness. I think it's just there as kind of like a nod, like a wink and a nod to people like you and me that play the mainline games, that know about Frustration and Return as being these moves associated with friendship. It just goes to show you that all of the Shadow Pokemon were mistreated. And then when you actually do purify them, they say quote-unquote purify them, they learn, I think, Return at that point. Which then again, you can scrub that and give it a better move from its whatever move pool it has.
I will say this about the move Return. If you're doing a hardcore Nuzlocke that you're going to post to YouTube, stop fucking using Return. I'm so tired of seeing that move when like people who do run-throughs, or even like solo Pokemon run-throughs, because pretty much they're just like trudging through the game until they get returned, or as soon as they get returned, and I taught return to the Pokemon and swept through the rest of the game using it. It's so fucking boring to watch. Like, their videos I have turned off because, like, oh, and at this point I got return and taught it to my Pokemon. Like, well, then that's the only move you're using for the rest of the game. I'm tired of it. Stop using return. It's boring.
It's like when I see that a lot when people show off their teams, and it's always a Gyarados. And I get it. It's hard to like say Gyarados is bad because it's so easy to get one.
Yeah, and at some point in the game, really useful in a Nuzlocke.
But yeah, it is very much a vanilla pick. At any rate, just to get a couple more things to bring up. We're almost out of the woods.
No, that's okay. We got so much time.
I agree. So they're going to be doing a couple events. They're going to be doing some kind of spring event, which I guess means they're going to bring around Pokemon associated with.
Spoink?
Probably more like that's a literal.
I get it.
Probably more like egg Pokemon, like Togepi. Probably like
Execute.
Happinies will be going around. Execute, yeah. They actually just had an Execute event for the Alolan Execute.
Oh, sure.
Or the Executor. There's Alolan Execute. Gosh, those things are fun. Those things are so fucking fun. Just because, like, to their credit, like, they actually are to the proper dimensions of the Pokemon.
Right, right. So, my buddy Hector plays a lot of Pokemon Go, and he shows me, like, when Alolan Executor shows up on his little map. Like, you don't even see the head.
Yeah, you can't even see the head. It's, like, flying through the gym. It's great. So, yeah, that'll happen for, like, a week. Then the next week, they're going to be doing... it's apparently, like, Earth Day or something. It's, like, stop being so mean to the Earth. Day. So they're going to have probably Pokemon associated with that. I don't know if that means that there's going to be like Mux and Trubbishes, or if it's going to be
Coughing and Wheezing.
Yeah, exactly. That would be hilarious. That's going to go down. Another very cool event. They're doing a Stuffle event too. This is, again, they're unloading more stuff from Alolan steadily. Oh, and if I didn't bring that up already, so they've actually added more Alolan stuff. Fomantis is now in the mix, which is really, really cool. The Lycanroc, I think I might have already mentioned that, but they're doing Lycanroc now too. Rockruff, thank you. So both those are going around in their shiny forms, which is cool. Stuffle is going to be available in its shiny form. So pretty much everyone's just going to get a shiny Stuffle, because that'll be the first day it's available. And this is towards the mid to the end of April. They always have a community day. They just realized how popular it was to do these throwback community days. That's why you're getting two this month. Because they did the one with Bulbasaur in January, I think it was, which was a big smash hit for them. They made all of the money in the world that day with people buying up all of the Poke coins. So all that's got, there's just so much happening right now. We've already got two tap, the current raid boss right now is Tapu Lele. We've already had Tapu
Coco?
Coco, I think it was. Is that the yellow red one that's got like the cool orb thing around it?
I think Tapu Coco, and I'm really hazy with the Tapus. Because I've only maybe played through Alola once or twice, but I think Coco is the first one you'll encounter at the end game.
Then yeah.
The yellow one.
Tapu Coco, Tapu Lele, and the next one is gonna be Tapu Bulu. The one that's like purple and has the nose ring, like a bull. So that's gonna be pretty cool. Other than that, they're doing like Aetherian forms of the Landorus. The Thunderous.
Thunderous, Tornadus.
Well, those guys, whatever.
Like, no, they, whatever they call the one in Arceus.
Yeah. The new one, yeah. Yeah,
a Morris or something like that.
Yeah. But they did unlock all their shiny forms, so if you care about that, they're out there, but it's like, I don't think anyone really gives a fuck. Unless you're really hunting shinies, it is what it is.
Is that the... In Arceus, is that the only new dex entry? That new,
What do you mean? There's, like, tons, though. Like, Basculin has one.
No, I mean the, like...
Of the legendaries?
Not form changes. Just, like, brand new Pokemon.
Yeah, those are all new Pokemon.
Well,
Ursaluna is a new Pokemon.
Not a regional variant. Oh yeah, Ursaluna. Yeah, that's
Braviary's new form. Basculegion.
Those are regional variants.
No, they're not.
Cleaver.
They're brand new evolutions.
Cleaver.
Sneasler. It's a new name. Sneasler.
Sneasler is an all new one.
There's like about 10 new Pokemon. Like new actual decks. It's weird that people are being like
Braviary's a regional variant.
What's the
Zoroark is a regional variant. Basculegion, that's a new one.
No, what's the pufferfish?
The quillfish. Yeah, got one. Yeah,
he's got an evolution.
Something? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I think maybe you're right. There are a couple of those that I just
there's
said.
There's quite a bit in this game. I was very surprised.
But yeah, they're definitely... I mean, there's, probably about 5 or 6 new Pokemon. Again, it's weird that people are always trying to call, like, Violet and...
Scarlet,
like Gen 9 or whatever. Really, it's like this is still technically Gen 9. That should be Gen 10. Just because they only added like 6.
No, because it's so different from their typical formula. So this is kind of like their own separate thing.
Gen 8.5?
Yeah, there's no gyms.
I mean, I think they both could be.
If they're ever going to cross over into the mainline games, meaning I can plug these things into home and then move them to another game, they have to integrate it.
I think they could be both Gen 9, because when you're talking about games like...
He goes home. The original Gen 9 is his home.
The original Diamond Pearl and then the Heart Gold Soul Silver remakes, they're both considered Gen 4.
Let's not sleep on how great an idea that is, Wes. Wes, I think, just nailed it.
Yeah?
I think that might be it. Go ahead, say it again.
It'd be really good. So in Arceus, he falls out of the hole, right, and boom, he's in Arceus land. Arceus ends. He goes home. Home is Gen 9.
Back to España.
Back to the region with what were the starters again? Fuecoco and
Wexley. Why don't all those
queso de
fuego del queso?
Fuego de queso.
Yeah, all the Hisuian people somehow managed to speak his language too. What a turn of events.
It turns out I just got sent back in time like 10 years.
Right. So I guess
been in a coma all along. And then it starts with him waking up in the hospital.
So I could regale you with all of the shinies I've gotten lately, but I won't bother you with that. Again, I have my phone in front of me, so I can't name them all off. But Pokemon is fucking fantastic. It's great. People should play Pokemon Go.
How's Arceus going? Wes, are you still playing?
I got Elden Ring, and I just started Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
That's no excuse.
So no, I haven't turned on my Switch in over a week.
You're a bad person.
I understand this. I understand.
I actually brought my Switch because I thought last week we were going to be recording the Pokemon show, and I was like all amped up to tell you about Arceus, and I've largely forgotten a lot of that information. But
oh, good.
I currently stand at 224 completed dex entries out of 228 seen. I'm kind of now doing that progress where I'm working through the legendaries. So I've done all of the Lake Trio. Heatran I got maybe one or two more. The current one I'm about to do is Cresselia. I know there's going to be quite a few more to get. The only big ones I really haven't got from the stuff I know is just out readily out there is Spiritomb. Because I just, I'm not looking forward to the whole Wisp collecting. Like, again,
it's not fun.
We talked about this already. I think it's the Crimson Mire lands. I've got 19 of 20. And I don't know where that 20... Like, I've seen a map of where they all are. I'll never know which one it is unless I then just start the hunt
right,
and go to every single location.
Go through the process of...
Or watch a video.
I intend to just watch a video and just
and go through step by step. Yeah, yeah, like, okay, go check this location. No, already got that one. Go check the next location. No, got that one.
I mean, really, it'll probably only take you like 10 minutes, and then boom, you're done. I mean, it's not like
per
it's...
region. Yeah, I mean, it'll be probably an hour-long process.
But it's still real annoying.
Yeah.
Sort of to try to track down that last one. Like, it'd be real nice if just on the in-game map, they just give you a little icon for ones you've already found.
They give you Ursaluna. Mm-hmm. I just wish Ursaluna would track them down.
Hmm.
That would make life so much easier for people. And maybe it does, and I'm just complaining to complain. Oh, I didn't even... That was the one thing I want to talk about with Pokemon Go. People love to complain. Again, because just... The Pokemon subreddits are just so terrified of enjoying something.
Yeah.
Like, they're truly despicable people. Shame on them for claiming to love a thing that they despise so much. Right? Like, okay.
It's like Star Wars fans, almost. You're like, calm down. Han Solo was fine. Like, you don't need to, like...
Or like fans of anything, fans in quotes of anything. Yeah. Like, it seems like when you like something, you have to be hypercritical of it because being hypercritical lends you some sort of legitimacy.
Yeah.
And the things where you're saying, like, no, you're just allowed to like something. You don't have to pick everything apart and like hate something in order to consider yourself. Yeah. It's weird. Like it's this weird inverse relationship with
like the Asian girl that was in what was the middle Star Wars, the new ones.
I don't remember her name.
Right?
I remember she got picked on. Yeah, no. She was kind of bullied.
Yeah, like she got like death threats and everything. Like, calm down.
Gross.
It's she got a job. She's on a movie. Good for her. Calm the fuck down that you don't like the character. Like it's,
yeah.
And you guys, hot take. Fuck Star Wars, there's one good movie. Anyway, what were we saying about Arceus?
I mean, you just... It came out of nowhere.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, Phantom Menace, right?
Just throwing...
Phantom Menace, exactly.
Throwing haymakers. So the big thing that's got everyone upset is... I think people don't realize what Pokemon Go was like pre-pandemic. Because they've done a lot of things to improve the game and make it a little more user-friendly during a pandemic. And they've slowly started trying to scale them back. And it's always been sort of with this coached language to sort of say, like, hey, we're testing things out. We're here to gauge community reaction. We want to make money. We're not here to piss you off. We want to make money. So we're not going to do the things that truly upset you. Like, they tried to rein in Pokestop distance, and the community freaked out about it. I didn't freak out about it, but I get it. I like having the extended range. It makes it easier for me to... be in a vehicle, not driving, of course, and hit a Pokestop as I'm driving by, you know.
Because you're not driving by.
And again, because that was supposed to promote social distancing. Like, that was the whole idea, is that, you know, so they're like, we can probably rein that in, right? Like, no one's going to care. And I think they didn't gauge how bad the community was going to react to that. So they're like, okay, guys, we did that for 3 days. It's back the way it was. Don't be mad at us anymore. No more death threats. Thank you. So then, like, the new one that is previously community days were 3 hours long. And again, for the whole sake of, again, this explicitly for the sake of social distancing, they extended them to 6 hours. So these community days, like I'm talking about the ones that are going to happen for, Mudkip and Stuffle,
are now 12 hours long.
They're now 3 hours long. So of course, and they actually put the numbers in their comment about it. They're like, listen, we found out that 5% of the people that actually play this game play for more than 3 hours. Like, it's kind of unnecessary. We want to get back into the thing where it's a community-driven thing. Like, so, for someone like me that lives downtown and Lake Eola is right there, Lake Eola is one of the big hubs for this. So, like, and I noticed it because the Bulbasaur one, which was the one in January that they did, was only 3 hours long as well. And it was a real community event. It brought a lot of people together. People were talking. There was maybe, not kidding, I mean, just walking around, you probably saw at least 200 people playing. In that area of just, like, this is where the Pokemon people are congregating, you had a solid 50 people just really digging into Pokemon Go. But then when they would do the other events that are 6 hours long, you don't get that because, you know, people are like, I'll go when I go. I'll play for a little bit. You don't get the whole community interaction, right?
Yeah, so you got playing time.
And I get it. And it's tough for people who like have a job that have to work on a Sunday, where they're like, it really helped having those extra 3 hours, having the flexibility. You know, they can be a little upset about it, but also keep in mind, like, we know when the June one is going to be, and it's March.
Hmm.
Like, if these mean that much to you, plan your schedule. Plan your schedule around requiring 3 hours of personal time to do a thing. You need, if you have a job, try to move your shift, to take a day off, or do whatever. It's once a month.
It'd be the same thing, like, if you wanted to go to, like, an opening night of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know when the movie is coming out, so you just kind of plan accordingly. You go to your job and say, like, hey, I need this day off. And you give them enough notice, then of course you're going to get the time off. And if you're at a job where, like, if it's April and you're asking for a day off in June, and they're like, no, we can't accommodate that, fucking quit.
Yeah.
Go get a different job. What kind of monsters are like that?
Right, right. It's totally, it's again, it's just to that point of everyone overreacting about it. So the community is... And again, it's not even like it's the community. It's the people that go online and post about it, which, as we know, is a very, very small fraction of the whole...
They're not even Pokemon fans.
It's the type of people who are like, 3 hours is too small a window, but I'm going to jump on the internet immediately to complain about it.
Yeah.
You've got the time to do that.
Well, it's like the Arceus reaction. And there was that fun... It was like a meme format I saw that kept getting circulating around, where it was basically just like this guy yelling, like, you shouldn't enjoy that, and it was like all of these happy people playing Arceus. It's like, who gives a shit? Let people do what they do. Like, that's beside the point. So, yeah. Right now, the community is very, very upset that they're going back to this three-hour format. And I get it, there are a couple of little drawbacks, but I think for the point of what Pokemon Go is about, it'll be much better. So, it is a not a black and white thing. It is nuanced. There is nuance to this. And you can have an opinion about it and don't have to tell about how you're going to uninstall the game or whatever. And if you do, then do it and just go fuck off. Just be gone.
And it's so bizarre because there are so many games. There are so many games to play, and yet this is how you choose to spend your time complaining about this one specific thing that you don't like. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. I'm sure there's something else you gotta like it. But that's how you choose to spend your time telling people that they shouldn't like the thing that you don't like anymore.
Totally.
Why do you want to live your life like that? You're intentionally inflicting misery upon yourself.
Absolutely. Okay, so I didn't mean to derail, but back on track, we're talking about...
Pokemon Arceus!
Yeah. I think it's Arceus?
Oh, yes, Arceus. We've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Yeah, that's a shame on us. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
But notable good game, Pokemon Arceus.
Arceus. Yeah, so I've got
200... There's no H in it.
God. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like there's a bike brand called Chinelli. There's no H in it.
You know what? There's no H in it. Say it right.
Yeah. I think I learned that one in shul.
Nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Let me refer to my schedule. At any rate, yeah, so I got 224 done. I think there's like, what, 245? Something like that total. I'll get there.
Yeah, that sounds about 240-ish.
I don't play other video games, really.
You have Metroid.
I play too much Pokemon.
You have Metroid, though.
And I haven't even touched the game yet, man. I'm such a fucking
fool. It's so good.
I am a shame.
I love Metroid Dread.
Yeah. So, what about you? What are you doing, Arceus?
Oh, I finished the decks.
No one ever truly finishes
them. I don't. Yeah, it's true. I don't have a complete living decks because I have not gone to track down all of the forms of the three starter Pokemon.
Let me know when you have your shiny alpha living decks.
No, I refuse. I do have a few shinies, but I haven't done any sort of shiny hunting. But I really like. The end game, I appreciated that the legendaries were pretty easy to catch. Like, a lot of them were just like,
oh, yeah.
You go in there, you throw, chuck an Ultra Ball, and you got it. Playing through the end game in Shining Pearl, that I'm really appreciating how easy it was to get the legendaries in Arceus, because I was fighting. Like, in Shining Pearl, I did challenge Arceus in that game to go catch him for the Dex. And I couldn't get him, and he ended up struggling himself to death. So I was like, well, it's a good thing I saved right before this fight, because he just would not stay in the fucking ball. But yeah, like, going around and like catching all those legendaries for the decks is great. Getting into like the post game content that they added back in, like all the mass outbreaks, is really fun. That's how I found a bunch of things that weren't just spawning for me normally.
Yeah,
the hardest
Your charms.
That might be, oh my god.
I remember complaining about that. Literally the other day, I was like, man, John's always complaining about these, and I was in that first world, and I was like, wait a minute. They're by the little putty. Maybe he's right. Maybe that. And literally the first two Shaking Tree encounters were both Cherims.
It was so fucking infuriating. Like, I had an easier time catching every single legendary than any of those Cherims. Like,
yeah.
And I had to, in order to complete the decks, I had to catch at least one more, because you couldn't get it just by, you know, doing all your absorbs. It wouldn't give you enough dex info. It must have taken me cumulative 2 or 3 hours to catch a second one. It was so infuriating.
That's brutal.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things, Munchlax, I didn't really encounter anything in the wild until there was a mouse outbreak, but never got a mouse outbreak for those charms. The other thing...
Munchlax is kind of an easier one because it's one of the ones that require food. Hmm. Anything that requires food, you can pretty much get the Pokedex entry by just throwing 10 things out there for it to eat. It's really, really easy. I love it when that's one of the options, yeah.
I got lucky enough to where it was a mass outbreak, so I just ran in there with a bunch of Ultra Balls and started catching them all up. And
yeah. Have you toyed around with that new thing that they're doing where it's like you give a Munchlax a bunch of berries or something, mm-hmm. and then it spawns 4 or 5 simultaneous outbreaks?
Right, that's the mass outbreak stuff. That's part of the post game. And yeah, the Munchlax will also, if you give it more berries, it'll tell you what's in every area, and then we'll also tell you, this one has a higher chance of having shinies pop out of it.
Nice.
So that's a really fun way of loading up on things.
I watched Awesome John do one where he set it up and saved it right when they were out there, and then what he did was, because you don't have the time to explore all of them, the time, I guess, runs out on this, but mm-hmm. he would go and explore a couple and just sort of farm them real quick, and if they had a shiny, he would restart. He would go back to his save and then just go check the other ones. And if they had a shiny, he'd be like, okay, restart, go back, and he'd check all of them. And once he's checked everything, he's like, okay, these two patches are guaranteed to have shinies spawn. It's all determined already for you. It's not like you're going to get unique encounters every time you do it. So he's like, just find out where they are, reload the save, grab your shinies if that's really what you care about, and then you're good.
Hmm.
It beats the whole process of opening it, running it, and be like, ugh, I probably only have the time to check these two. I'm going to go check these two and then not get the chance to look at all the others.
The only reason those things trying to find a Munchlax or trying to find a Cherim were so frustrating is because it was so much fun just to encounter things. Hmm. Especially early on in the game, you get excited to see things. You enter a new area, or not even a different region, but just a new section of the map that you're in. Oh my god, there's Bunnery, and then there's Psyduck, things you should not be excited to see, but they make it so much fun to go out and catch these things that when you actually have to spend the time bashing your head against the wall just trying to get something to spawn out of a tree, it's like this
my,
is
that
this
was
is,
my Bonsly.
Yeah, this is taking the fun away.
Yeah, that for me that was Bonsly. Mm-hmm. I basically just got to the point where I looked up online what's the easiest way to get a Bonsly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were basically saying, go to this one spot, if it's not there, reload the whole map. Go back to Jubilife, go back. It took me 4 cycles to have one show up. Because I just had the one. I had the one, and I was like, am I seriously going to do Mimic 20 times? And by the way, you can't just fail a Mimic. The Pokemon has to do a move, and then you Mimic it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it for a couple of turns, and I was like, I am not doing this anymore. I'm not fucking dealing with this. And that's the only move it would learn points on.
Yep.
And the other thing that you could do with it was fucking feed it. So I just had one, I reloaded 4 times, one spawn, and I just fed it a bunch of times and instantly got the achievement. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah, having to, I had to respawn a lot to get that Cherim as well.
And oh, someone pointed out
it's a big pain in the butt.
Someone did point out a funny thing that happens in the game. And the Blissey's are good to catch, right? But mm-hmm. if you just fly up in front of a Blissey too high and you fall off, not so far that you'll instantly die, but that you'll go into the black or into the red, Blissey actually runs up to you and heals you.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that.
A neat touch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of really neat touches like that.
Where, some fun interactions.
Yeah. Pokemon behave in ways. The other one that a hard time, and I might have already talked about this, I had a hard time getting the space-time distortions to spawn in the coastlands. It took me an hour and a half to get one, which is not usually how long it would take. I was getting some really shitty luck.
That is bad luck, yeah.
Because I needed a Magnemite. But it was taking me so long just to get that space-time distortion to come in. When it finally did, I was like, Magnemite, Ultra Balls, now. And I was not risking letting any of them escape because I was not waiting around for another distortion.
I actually got really lucky because I had to do that for the other starters. I had to get the other starters. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the post game, that's when they'll show up in the space time distortions. And both of them I got within 15 minutes of being there.
Nice. Did you talk to the professor again when you got to the post game? Because he'll give you the other starters.
Yeah, I did not do that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I feel like I talked to that guy a lot already.
Yeah.
He'll just give them to you.
I mean, it's not the big deal. You caught him anyway. It didn't take you that long.
Yeah.
So, didn't really hurt anything.
That asshole.
Yeah, he'd been camping on them the whole time and then just gives them to you after you're already done with the game. Like, all right, dude, thanks.
He also, let's face it, looks like a dork.
Mm.
What's with that hat thing that he has and the weird, like, creepy stubble-ish? What is that? What is going on there with his facial hair?
I don't know. I don't think he's really a professor. There's no university. They have a fort.
Good point. He's just got the chalkboard, so we're supposed to believe he's some kind of educator because of the chalkboard.
Right, a serious professor would be using a whiteboard now with dry erase markers.
Yeah, good point. So, a lot left unanswered within the narrative of this.
Mm.
I don't know.
what else? Do we need to address anything else about Archaeus?
Archaeus.
Sorry, Archaeos.
You're right.
Catching that... Enormous, the pink tornado thing that flew around. That guy was a pain in the butt. He kept on fucking me up with his tornadoes. The other ones really weren't so bad, but for some reason, he was really giving me a hard time. Have you gone after any of the Thundorus, Landorus?
I'm kind of just going in order of the ones that they prescribe.
They do this thing. They'll roam around. They appear during certain weather conditions. It's easy enough to change the weather conditions. It's a matter of resting and seeing if they've changed. You don't have to go back to Jubilife to re-roll or anything.
It doesn't count.
But when... Wes, have you gone after him?
Nope.
So when the conditions are correct, you go out there and it'll be roaming around and it will shoot tornadoes at you. What you got to do is you got to like stun it by throwing, you know, your mud ball or your sticky ball, whatever it is that you're going to use to stun. And then you'll be able to initiate a fight and go throughout your regular capture process. But they shoot these tornadoes at you, and the tornadoes can confuse you, which will invert your controls, and you also take damage. So sometimes if it's going really rough, you'll have to retreat a little bit and heal up.
Yeah.
But thankfully, once you've gotten them to spawn, like, they're ones that took me a few minutes to actually get through. Once you get them to spawn, they don't go away. So you don't have to, like, go back to rest and re-roll or anything like that. So... the only one that KO'd me a number of times was the pink one, the new one. Because that thing, it's in the Mirelands, and you can get stuck in the mud, and when it inverts your controls, it will shoot tornadoes at you at a pretty quick clip. It was just a pain in the butt. It was real annoying. And it was one of those things where, like, throughout the entire game, just catching stuff was really fun. And then they throw this thing at you, like, the funnest part of the game, we're going to ruin with all these tornadoes.
Yeah. Well, it is the end game, so they gotta amp up the difficulty a little bit.
Hmm.
Do you have a catching team or any Pokemon that you use specifically to catch?
Not particularly.
As you said, as I've noticed too, catching is really not that hard.
Right. You didn't really have to come with a strategy or anything.
Basically get them into even the yellow with a status condition or red without, and it takes two or three Ultra Balls.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I was using a Lucario that I loved a lot. Miss Magius, because it has a Hypnosis, which is like useful, and then Sylveon because it's a perfect counter to Lucario.
I mean, I pretty much was I had a few Pokemon that I would roll with on the main team. I had a Alpha Heracross that I caught in that one spot where they always spawn with False Swipe, and I was using that for a little bit. But you know, most things you don't even have to get down to the red for it to even matter. So I benched him after a while. And I didn't really have like a team like this is absolutely who I'm going to go with. I mean, my Luxray had Nuzzle for a little while just to give it a quick paralysis or Thunder Wave.
Chip damage and also get the status. Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, my starter, Oshawott, was Samurott was with me a lot of times. I had an Umbreon with me a lot of times. My team was really like exposed to fairy types. Yeah. Because I had a Lucario as well. And Zoroark.
Lucario is actually okay because it's neutral to fairy, and it probably is running a good steel move, like Bullet.
That's a good point.
I think I run Bullet Punch on mine as a little chipper attack. So yeah, probably.
Yeah, my two
highs. It is weird planning for fairy types now because it kind of makes people because everyone loves steel because it's a defensive type, but no one ever really thinks about attacking with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then poison, people just kind of neglect poison in general because poison's best feature is that it is the status.
Right. I did have a
poison type.
A Toxicroak with me.
And that's what makes you so unique.
Yep.
That's what makes you so special.
Yep. You have a Toxicroak.
But yeah, but my highest level ones were my Oshawa and my Umbreon, so, you know. So if someone throws out a Clefable at me, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So.
Just intentionally damage yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, friend. I'll abandon this fight right away.
So are you going to go through the whole process of getting the Alpha Shiny Dex?
Oh, no, I'm just talking with you. I'm totally going to complete the Pokedex and start doing some shiny hunting just for the hell of it. I've got about, I can't bring it up, can I? But, I've got, like, maybe a dozen shinies so far. Some fun ones. Most recently, I got Teddy Ursa. Shinx.
Nice. Teddy Ursa's a nice one.
Yeah.
And Shinx, too. That's a really cool color palette.
Yeah, those are some fun ones, but, I'm going to keep with it for sure. Like, I love this game. This game's fantastic. I mean, it ain't Breath of the Wild.
It doesn't have to. It's not trying to be.
Yeah, it ain't that level of immersive where I'm just like, oh my god, I'm so glad I'm in this world. You know? But it's a really fun, novel way to play a game we've played for fucking 20 years now.
Yeah.
Finally do a spin on the formula is nice. And not pinball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mechanically, just catching things and sneaking around. They just nail it.
It is fun. I actually really enjoy the stealthy component. Mm-hmm. I love when I get the drop on them, or like, I think I talked about that last month when we were doing the Poke Show about how you can manipulate those space-time distortions.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're in them, usually pretty much because they spawn in the kind of the same areas.
Right.
It's not like they're just going to drop a completely random circle anywhere.
There's like two, maybe three different areas of a region.
Yeah.
If they're going to spawn.
And they're going to have grass patches, and there's always going to be a grass patch that's near the edge somewhere, and like literally just sit in the grass patch closest to the edge, let them spawn, and then just chuck ultra balls right in their fucking backs, because again they will spawn into the world, and because you're near the edge they will immediately start walking away so you can backshot everything. Like I've literally sat there in these space-time distortions and caught 30 things, just 30 of whatever the hell spawns regardless of its quality or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So good strategy there.
Yeah. So, I actually haven't played Arceus in a few weeks.
Chess.
God, thank you.
You make the joke. I'm singing with it now.
I'm so glad you're here.
No,
I'm. You're totally right. I'm 100% on board for Arceus. But I haven't played that in several weeks because I've been tinkering with Shining Pearl again.
Nice.
Picked that back up in between Triangle Strategy and Kirby, and I've been working on the Living National decks. I went from about 220 up to 370-ish, so making some good progress. I think there's like 490 or thereabouts within the National decks up to Gen 4.
That's a lot.
There are some things where I'm not so sure how to get, specifically something like a Celebi. There is a legendary garden. You go to the underground, you dig up certain mysterious shards from the digging points in there. You bring them to a park area, and you use these shards to essentially just trade for a shot at catching a legendary. And there's version-specific ones, too. So Diamond will have your roaming cats from Gen 2, your Suicune, Entei. And then Shining Pearl will have the birds from Gen 1, Moltres, Zapdos, Articuno.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so I mean, it does encourage trading with other versions, which you can't do. And it's not available with Home yet either, so you can't trade through Home either. But you can do Wonder Trading, so there's that.
Yeah, that's kind of been the thing that's prevented me from really getting back into the whole completionist stuff of Diamond and Pearl, is just the thought that when the time comes, I'll just transfer everything in and back out.
Right, right. And, I do like
having... Which we thought that they were doing at first, because they were like, oh, we don't want people to figure out the game that quick and have everything. But then they were like, we really just didn't think about it.
I think
we didn't think about how we were going to use Home with any of these other games.
I think my own conspiracy theory
is
that Game Freak didn't develop this game. They gave it... contracted that
to Vicarious Visions.
After they dumped that SpongeBob game.
Yeah,
that's right. Hell yeah.
They, I forget the name of the studio that developed this one. I don't think Game Freak or the Pokemon Company really gave them any sort of direction as to, like, oh yeah, there's this other thing called Pokemon Home that, you know, are we're going to want to have this ready for. We're going to want them to communicate with each other. So I think, like, maybe now they might be having to work backwards and, like, okay, so how do we make this game we didn't make work with our home service? So I don't know. Hopefully it won't be too long before it's available to use at home. But, you know, I would like to make a living dex for this game even outside of home. But, you know, it might require me. Wes, did you buy Diamond?
Yeah.
I might want to borrow your copy someday.
That's fine.
So I can actually get the version exclusives, because I don't even know if there's like peer-to-peer trading. There might not be any trading in this game. Well, no, never mind. I take that back.
Have we traded?
Yeah, because it's... Yeah,
we traded. We've done traded in a few things.
We've done it already. That's how I got a Scyther.
Yeah. That's how I got Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly it meant so much to you, John.
I know, right? Like, it's funny because...
I give you anything.
I spent... One of the first things I had to do when I booted this game back up is I had to rearrange my boxes, because, like, Arceus, there's no way to quick sort your boxes. You just can't do it. So I had to, like, go through, because my boxes were sorted by Pokedex number with the Sinnoh Dex, but then I upgraded to the National Dex, so I had to start rearranging everything by National Dex Pokedex number, which probably took me about 2 hours total over the course of a few days. But as I was arranging things, okay, my Scyther goes here. And then I'm like looking up information about version exclusives. I'm like, oh, Scyther's exclusive to Diamond. How the fuck did I get a Scyther? Do I have a Scyther? I had to go through my boxes and go like, oh yeah, I have a Scyther. How did I do that? And I didn't remember until just now, Wes, that we actually traded in this game before.
Yep.
That's probably how I got my Gengar and Golem as well.
We did all that.
Yeah.
That was like, what, 5 months ago though?
Maybe. Probably back in November,
don't
December.
Don't defend him.
It was last year.
John takes me for granted. Don't defend him.
This was before the slap.
Was the slap heard around the world.
Yeah.
So, it's been fun because I spent a lot of time in the underground, and like there, Serebii and a bunch of other places have these lists about what Pokemon will spawn in certain areas. And in the underground, it's really easy just to re-roll if you like go into an area and you're looking for a Treecko or a Turtwig. You go to the specific type of zone that they're in, you enter, you run through really quick. If it's there, you catch it. If it's not, you just leave and come back. It'll spawn eventually. Oddly enough, the hardest thing I had the hardest time finding was a Staryu. I could not find, and I wanted two of them for a living dex. Could not fucking find two Staryu. It took me probably 45 minutes to get a second Staryu to spawn. In the meantime, I found like 5 Piplups and like all these Squirtles and stuff. For whatever reason, Staryu was elusive. Hmm. There are ways you can slightly manipulate how often things will spawn by placing those statues in your secret base. So if you're going to want to farm a lot of fire Pokemon, you place your statues and you go to the areas where fire Pokemon spawn and, you know, do your best to catch. But they make it fun and interesting to check in every day, because there's basically 3 different areas where, you know, you get your different spawns every day. You get a different swarm Pokemon every day. You just check that in your pause screen or your menu screen about which Pokemon is spawning and what route for that day. And when you go there, you'll like see them roaming around in the grass, which is cool because you get to see like the Pidgey hopping up and down in the tall grass. But you don't actually like run into the catch them. You still have to crawl around in the grass and wait for a random encounter. And you have a higher chance of having the thing spawn, but it's still like 30 or 40%. So you're more likely to not get one for the first couple encounters than you are to get one. You have your mansion. What is it called? There's like a secret garden type place where every day there'll be a new Pokemon that spawns in there. And that one's an easy one to get. Like, it'll be like you can get Eevees in there. You can get Clefos or Jigglypuffs or Azurills. There's or Porygon. There's a number of different Pokemon. It's a daily thing. Every day we'll go in there, it'll rotate through something different. You've got to talk to the guy and he'll tell you what's going to be in there. And that's a pretty easy one to farm a bunch, because the Pokemon of the day will appear at level 18. So you just got to put something at level 18 in front of your party and use a repel. And there have been times where, you know, I use the super repel and I run around and I don't get any encounters until I have to use another one, but yeah. I'm almost guaranteed to always get the new one in there. Sometimes Pikachu will spawn up or appear at level 18 as well. But anyway, neither here nor there, the third thing that will always like rotate throughout the day is they're not always. There's usually like a new Pokemon, a new encounter in the Safari Zone. I forget what they call it in this version. But like yesterday, Yanma was appearing in the Safari Zone, so I just had to go there and catch a couple of those. But they make almost everything pretty easy to level up. Most things that I'm catching in the underground now are like at level 60 because I have all of the badges. I haven't really used the Pokerator function all that much. I did have to use it to catch a Ditto, which was necessary for making all my EVs and also getting some preforms of some things.
So, Village Bicycle.
Yep. Yeah, you know, the one thing that I wish they had done better, and they did it perfectly in Gen 6. They just had that one spot where all you do is hold the one direction or like put a penny to wedge down your circle pad, right, and just keep on going in the circle so you can hatch Pokemon really easily. There is not, or you can like increase your friendship really easily just by walking around. There is not an easy place to do that in this game.
Yeah, there was the one path where you get the spirit tomb if you just go up and down.
Right next to the daycare.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy, relatively speaking, but you do have to now, like...
As easy as go, the penny under the...
Right, because you do have to like change direction, so it's not like minimal effort required. And also, especially when you're on a bike, you're going to want to use like the D-pad or the directional buttons because like the walls in this game are so fucking sticky. Like if you make any sort of contact with the wall, it's like, okay, well now I got to go in the totally opposite direction because if I just try to scoot around it, I'm going to be bumping into it the whole time.
You don't have to be on a bike for that to be the trick too. Like, mm-hmm. Just the way that the game operates in general.
Yeah.
It's for whatever reason, it's very, very clunky.
Yeah. And like, especially when you're trying to use a bike, it's going like up a very direct path.
It that can was be where a I was. I remember. I mean, it's been a little while since I played it, but I remember there was a part I was doing that at where it was like a vertical thing, and it actually went between like two different towns in an area where it had a lot of tall grass and like bicycle paths over it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And if you do it right, like that, I mean, there's you know, you're never going across any patches of grass, and you're not like if you've done it already, you've already encountered every trainer that would fight you. There's no trainers that walk in the path, so you can get a lot of steps in. Mm-hmm. But like you're saying, you kind of just got to go and then turn around and go back.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, you would like it to just be put the coin under the D-pad and just let it run.
And even in Sun Moon, you could get on your Taurus right outside the daycare there, yeah, and just go around in the circle, which was slightly easier because you never had to worry about like bumping into anything. You just knew that if you just
and keep it was on... quick, it was really quick.
Right. Right, because it was registering steps like based on your speed or something.
The fun one was Oris, because you would go to the island, and the island had it, because the camera would rotate whenever you went into the four quadrants of the map. So you would literally set yourself up next to a specific rock, and then have your coin trick going right, and then when you would hit the wall, the camera would adjust, and you would just go right again. And then every time you would hit the wall, it would be at the screen transition, so you would just kind of... had your infinite loop. With hands off.
I never noticed that with Oris. I don't think I did much hatching at all in that game.
X and Y and Oris are two of the best of all of Pokemon. Like, I really love both. I know you guys aren't crazy about them. I love both versions.
No, I agree with you. But adding in Black and White as well. Black and White is...
I mean, all these games are great.
Yeah, but those three really are the standouts. Mm-hmm.
Except for Gen 4.
fuck Gen 4.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I'd like to play through X and Y again at some point. Maybe when we do our class, or our D&D class Pokemon runs.
Yeah, X and Y was such a then-modern thing.
You have to tell me how it is.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no.
I don't have a DS X and Y or anything anymore.
We'll have to do it on Switch then. Can't do X and Y.
Well, I can do my Switch version. You guys can do your X and Y.
You can do Diamond and Pearl.
I could do Diamond and Pearl if I hate myself that much.
Yeah.
And Diamond and Pearl, like, you do have a little bit more access to more Pokemon when you get to the underground, but you really don't have...
But, I mean, it's just Starly's for the first 4 hours, I mean...
Starly's and Bidoof.
Bidoof, yeah. That's all it is. You're like, God! Yeah. We have a team of...
But like,
I don't have a DS. I had two DSs because I was trading a lot back in the day. But I gave one of them to my nephew. So he has one of my DSs and I still have my XL.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't $500 to buy a used one, I would have picked one up by now.
And there's seriously $500?
You can get like some reprogrammed DS carts for different generations of Pokemon for cheaper, but you're still like...
Oh, no, I think you're talking about the actual...
I'm talking about the system. I don't have a system.
DSs are like $500? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you. You don't have
like
to
look at Like a 3DS.
Insane.
For 3DS.
That is hardware that was like still being sold in stores until like a couple years ago.
I just typed in 3DS 389
remake. Oh my, well, don't go ahead. Go to Cybertron. Go to Cybertron. I know that like they
They're
have a
probably
whole...
still going to be renewed for like $200
at that least. That's more than what they were at retail.
Yeah. Right here, that there's the...
absolutely
I remember
insane.
Cybertron. Remember that Galaxy style? 415 down from 800.
Well, the Galaxy style was a limited run, so I can kind of understand, like, from a collector's aspect why that one's pricey.
Flame Red, $339.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Again, these are all the specialty ones.
Yeah.
Well, the red one was...
Ooh, that's standard.
I swear to God, you could go to Cybertron, and they would have, you know, beat-up copies where someone still had a sticker on it, like, from that they put on there, but it was still fully functional, and they would charge, like, $40 for it.
Like, I mean, if I could find a renewed one for $40,
it's not a 3DS like XL or anything. No, it's a DS. It'll work. It'll do what you need it to do. You know?
I mean, I'd be tempted to do that just so I could play through X and Y again and stuff like that.
I mean, unless the market's just gone completely batty in the past couple of years,
it's possible. Yeah.
Then, like again, you could probably find a very good minus condition one that plays, does what it has to do for under $100.
I mean, I feel like it wasn't more than a few years ago.
Excel's $429.
Where you could walk into a GameStop and find like a DS Lite for like $50.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Because they don't make it anymore.
Well, but it's used hardware. Like,
yeah.
Just because they don't make it anymore. These aren't like novel. It's not like this was like a limited. Like, they sold like fucking 80 million of these things. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable. Anyway, Ryan, you came up with some ideas for a run-through.
Oh, that I did, yeah. I remember there was a thread I saw online where people were talking about fun ways to spice up a Nuzlocke.
Yeah.
Because we've done these Nuzlockes. We played through the game so many times that we're still jonesing. We're still looking for that harder hit of whatever it is that we do when we appreciate Pokemon. So somebody was like, what if they did like RPG classes? What if you tried to make your Pokemon trainer fit into one of those standard archetypes? And people came up with some. I came up with some myself. And generally the idea is that you're supposed to put some restrictions in place, but also kind of give yourself an advantage, right? Like, that doesn't have to always be drawbacks. There should be some drawbacks, but it doesn't always have to be drawbacks. So I've got some here, and you guys are, again, welcome to spitball. You know, think of your own way you'd want
to
do it. But
I
like,
tried to, but I kept coming up with, like, boring ones, like Pyromancer. But like, yeah, that's just going to be nothing but fire types and shit, like...
Yeah.
I was like,
so
I was coming up with boring crap.
Yeah, I got one that's kind of like that. But we'll get into it, I guess. But I've got, for starters, I have the Paladin. I always like Paladins. I think they're fun. And I thought that that you should have some type restrictions. Being that it is like a noble warrior, you can only use dragons, fairy, and steel, which are three pretty good types to be, but also three of the rarest types in the game. You don't see a lot of them. So it does limit you in what you have. And I also wrote that you would be gifted a steed, meaning that instead of a starter, I mean, you have to start a game and get a starter, of course, but as soon as possible, you'd have to ditch the starter and trade it in for a horse of your choosing. So you could have a Blitzel, or you could have a Mudsdale, any...
Rapponita.
Yeah, exactly. If there's a horse Pokemon you would prefer to ride around on.
Girafarig.
That's yours. Sure, why not?
What a majestic steed.
Solid as fuck.
Yeah. Bell tank.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that would be cool.
Yeah. So, when we're talking about, like, using a type, like, it's got to be a fairy dragon or a
steel.
Yeah. You're allowing for dual typing, right? So, like,
sure.
like a Primarina is a fairy type, is also
fairy
water,
yeah.
So,
yeah, totally.
As long as there's one of those typings in there, it's fair game.
You can get away with that for sure. Yeah, I guess there haven't really been any dragon starters or no Empoleon. Empoleon.
Yeah.
So you can always start with an Empoleon. And that's another rule, is like, I was thinking, like, as long as it picks up the type at some point,
mm-hmm.
it's fair game.
Yeah.
You know, so don't really restrict yourself too much. Next I got is the Thief / Rogue. This is the one where I think it's, like, all kinds of interesting stuff you can do with it, because it's supposed to be, like, you know, kind of like this stealthy trickster Pokemon, or trainer, so. Dark and Poison are the types you can use. You can also, to further restrict it, only use priority moves, accuracy evasion moves, critical moves, and of course poison. So you have to limit yourself on what you can even do as a thief. Because again, a thief isn't just going to stand there and fight you. They're always doing something to gain advantage.
I think maybe add flinching moves in there too.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be a good one too. I've got the Druid, which is the master of nature. Grass, ground, and sky are the only types. Or flying. Right.
Sky sounds much more majestic.
It does, doesn't it? And I have that you can use berries in battle. So, generally, it's thought of as a faux pas to use items in battle. In this case, I think it would be cool. He's a druid. Or she is a druid. Whichever.
And berries.
Yeah, you know, it's part of nature. You played D&D, right? Like, one of the best druid abilities is good berries.
Good berries, yeah.
Yeah.
You make your goo berries. Goo berries? Oh,
yeah.
Said that wrong. Good berries and hand them out?
Yeah. No, stand by it.
Goo berries.
We're all going to enjoy some goo berries.
Yeah, when we play our Archaeus.
Speaking of D&D, Jeremy, prior to this podcast, I messaged him earlier to see what he was doing. He's like, I'm doing a one-shot where I'm playing a Shadow Monk. He's wearing a cape. He has a utility belt. He's a party member.
And nothing else.
He's a party member of the team who's a halfling, and his name is Robin.
Oh, boy.
You make a fucking Batman. You're playing Batman in your one-shot? Come on. Yeah. It's awesome.
Next class we got is the Necromancer. The Necromancer is a fun one. It always, of course, it summons the undead. Ghost and Dark only, and can revive in battle. So if it's dead at the end of the fight, you can't bring it back, but in battle you can always revive it. It would be fun to maybe mess around with some things that would be disastrous in a game. Things with, like, explosion, or any insta-kill moves, or just make you feel a little safer using moves that intentionally damage you, or have recoil and shit.
It might be kind of fun to also, for that particular class, you can revive a fainted Pokemon outside of battle as long as you sacrifice one of your other ones.
We'll skip ahead to this one then, because that actually is something I was thinking about. Because the Warlock.
Well, I had a thought to the Necromancer as well.
Yeah, let's hear it. Go ahead.
He can catch a Pokemon. This would be interesting. Going off the revive mechanic, he can catch a Pokemon if the trainer had used it. So he's essentially reviving his enemy's Pokemon to serve him.
You mean, like, if you kill a trainer in the grass and then that same Pokemon is in the grass, you could catch it? Or, like, what do you mean?
Well, if you want to go that, yeah, that'd be really hard. But, you know, in general, you probably would have to do it at, like, highlight fights. Like, a gym leader, you can go and catch one Pokemon that a gym leader used.
Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That'd be pretty cool.
Or you only can use... Yeah, that'd be interesting.
You can catch a gym leader's Pokemon, but it has to hold a toxic orb.
Oh.
So just constantly poisoned.
What would that even be? Like, that's actually just
a lot of toxic orbs.
Yeah.
That's just a clever idea in general. I think, again, it limits you because you don't get one every route. But every time you beat one of the eight, or one of the eight gym badges, you get just to have one of their Pokemon. You catch it however you want to, but you're allowed that one. You can't pick up anything else, though.
Right, so your party throughout the game is limited to those eight.
Just those eight. And I guess maybe before you get to the Elite Four, you can look ahead at their teams and maybe capture one more from whatever the team has.
Or like from your rival. You take, like, one from your rival.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, you can do that.
So, again, that's...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That's a cool stipulation.
That'd be...
Yeah. All right, I'm just gonna call that gym leader thieving. oh yeah, so I was gonna have a warlock one, and warlock would I didn't really put any restrictions on types, just because this is already such a dangerous type, dangerous play style. But you can only use self damaging moves and leech moves, and like you were saying, you can bring a Pokemon back from the dead, but you must sacrifice a Pokemon of equal level. So that would be fun. This one may sound boring, but it's probably one, maybe the, well, no, probably not the safest. I don't know. But I was going to say a barbarian. The barbarian is the master of combat, so you're only allowed to use normal and fighting types, and you can only use physical moves. You are also allowed to use X attack and X defend. Just because, you know.
But not special.
But for some, yeah, well, you can't use special moves. You can only use physical moves. I mean, you.
Well, you wouldn't be.
I guess you're welcome to use this. You can use it. You just can't use X speed.
Mm. I think you use things like swagger and. Because I don't like to rage, so you use swagger.
That's a great idea. Bonus points for doing that. But yeah, I thought that would be a fun thing, and like, you know, because you would be dealing with things like ghosts and stuff, but that's not a restriction to the Pokemon itself. A Pokemon, again, like a Hitmonchan can learn all of the various fire, electric punches, bullet punch, all that shit. So like, you know, you can use
the stats are garbage.
Yeah, it's not great stats on that bad boy. Also, it has to have a higher defense than attack when you evolve it, so you're further fucking it up unless you've got your mints to change the type. That's neither here nor is it there. I also got an elementalist. I think that's kind of like what you were saying with Pyro. I think the elementalist should get two types, though. I think it's hard, really hard to play through with just one type.
Yeah. Are they only able to use that type of magic, so to speak?
That is the other stipulations. You are not allowed to use any other type of move. You cannot use tackle. You'd literally have to start, like, if you wanted to be a fire type one, you'd get your Charmander and you would use Ember and only Ember as attacking moves. You could use Leer if you wanted, but you'd have to use Ember until you find other fire type moves. And that's why I kind of like the dual classing thing. And you could pick fire, water, electric, or ice. So you could pick any two. And then from there, gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Where do you go there? Water and
fire are a nice balance, for sure. Ice and electric, just because you're a fucking badass. You know? Again, it's only special moves, so you just got to stick to those.
Even special versions of it.
Not physical, not like
Fire Fang or...
Right, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're an elementalist. You're casting spells. Would you want to go smack someone in the face with a wand? Or are you going to use a staff and just bang it over the head? No, you're going to like...
If you're a boss.
Yeah, you're going to like freeze it and then explode it. That's what you do.
No, that's when you do the Blade Singer.
The Blade Singer?
And you only can use elemental moves, but they have to be physical.
Okay. That would be like an anti-mage kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Well, there's a class in D&D that it's a wizard, but it's focused on melee.
Oh, okay. Because
it uses a sword and shit and has increases for melee and stuff like that.
Okay. I can see that. I have the type Seer written down. I could not think of a good theme around it, but it felt like it would be a good one. Maybe it's like you can save the game once between gems, and if something bad happens, you can restart it. Oh. But you can only get one save per gem or something. I was trying to think, because, you know, Seers, like, they can see into the future. You could prevent a bad thing from happening. Maybe
like limit to like a psychic type and something else.
Maybe you could re-roll an encounter if you're in a specific area. Like again, maybe once per route you get a second roll at something. But again, I don't know what the drawback would be. It's vague. I didn't really have any great ideas there. Any D&D types? I actually have a couple of non-traditional ones. I'll get through those three real quick, and then we'll just talk about, like, we'll spitball or whatever. But I get the hunter, and these are the non-traditional ones. These aren't just like a simple thing. This kind of have extra rules. But I was like, the hunter would be a fun one, where you only get the Pokemon that you start with, so that's your one Pokemon, and you roll from a list of the Pokemon available in the region 10 Pokemon, and you beat the game by killing or capturing all 10. So it just depends on what you roll. If you get a post-game legendary, you got to see this thing through.
That would be very interesting. I mean, it wouldn't be as difficult in a game like Sword and Shield that has, like, the wild area.
I mean, and again, you just got to make sure. And also, like, if you get a middle form, you have to find a way to fight that middle form. Unless it's physically impossible to do the fight, you have to do the fight. You have to find it somewhere and kill it. So, you know.
I think everything's locked. I can't think of any situation where, like, no, you're never going to find a marsh stomp. Like, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if you were to roll, I'm trying to think of a good three-stage Pokemon, like Lombre. It doesn't count if you kill a Ludicolo, you got to kill a Lombre. So you have to find out who in the game has a Lombre. It may be a random trainer somewhere often fuck knows where, but you have to find that person and kill their lumber.
That might be a good one for, like, a Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, because, like, in order to fill the decks, you have to see every Pokemon. They actually do a good job of, if you fight every trainer in game, you see all 150 Pokemon available in the game. So, you know you're guaranteed to encounter one of everything at least. But, you know, you get that role where you encounter the Spiritomb, you gotta go get Cynthia.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so, she's mean.
And you got one Pokemon?
She is.
That's hard.
Yeah, she is mean.
Do you get to pick your Pokemon, or is it just one of the three starters?
Yeah, it's just whatever one of the three starters. I mean, I guess it's your call. If you think there's a better Hunter Pokemon out there that you would prefer to play the game with.
If you had to run through the game with one Pokemon, what would it be?
Of all of them.
Do you think?
Umbreon.
I knew you were going to pick fucking Umbreon.
I love Umbreon.
I know, but I mean, you're going to be able to get through the game with an Umbreon?
Yes. Through the power of love and friendship.
I would go with I don't know if this counts. I'd go Kartana. Kartana is like crazy fast, hits like a truck, has really good move diversity.
Which one's Kartana?
It's one of the Ultra Beasts.
Oh, of course you go with an Ultra Beast.
But it's only 580 combined stats, though. Mm. It's not even, their pseudo legendaries are stronger.
Mm. That's tough.
But yeah, there's a million awesome Pokemon that it would be fun to do something like that with. You could probably just go with something that's just a pure electric, just so you're, like, hoping you can avoid these ground Pokemon.
Mm.
Maybe pick something that's a little safer.
I've done an electric run before. I think Fire Red, Leaf Green.
It's probably pretty scary.
It wasn't a Nuzlocke. It was just a monotype run through. And yeah, like, Rock Tunnel wasn't fun.
Yeah, you got... anyway, they all have fucking Earthquake.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then up until right outside Rock Tunnel, it's basically a solo Pikachu run. Yeah. Because that's when you get Voltorb, and you can get Jolteon shortly after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're really limited throughout the first three gems.
Cool. I had a type called Bug Collector, which we actually did a Nuzlocke of just bug types. So this one, we did something so recently, I wouldn't want to do it, but I thought it would be fun, where you can only use flying types, and your objective is just to collect one of every bug in the generation of the game.
I like it.
I also had a merchant, which I really couldn't think of. I feel like there needs to be something more here, but you can only use Pokemon traded with NPCs. Mm. A merchant is always kind of a fun class because it is kind of a standard D&D class too, but it's typically one that it's not particularly strong, doesn't have good magic, it's not even particularly that smart, it's just very charismatic.
Maybe you put like a hunter stipulation on that one too, where your objective is to like get these 10 items that you just kind of roll randomly.
Yeah, that would be cool. You never know what kind of items you might come up with. You got to find a life orb or something.
Right.
That's a good one. I was also thinking you could overlevel +5. That was just a general rule. If something seems too mean or too difficult, you can always overlevel +5.
Hmm.
Could be also be fun if a build seems too strong to underlevel it. Not only can you not be leveled up to the next gym leader, but you have to be like two levels under it or something.
Harsh.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it would be kind of fun to try these out. I thought it would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I really like that the rogue class. That's really appealing to me.
Yeah.
Using the dark poison types.
All right. Let's spitball here. How would you make a bard?
Singing moves.
Sound moves.
There's not a lot of those though.
Would you limit to like, what would the, like, if you're running Sword Shield, are there Pokemon that are some sort of like music or sound based and glide? You got like Rillaboom and
gotta be Rillaboom,
the electric poison guy.
Toxtricity's got that.
Oh, Obstagoon.
Obstagoon, yeah, that's kind of a rock star flair to it.
But do they get sound based moves? Like, Toxtricity definitely does. Gets a couple of sound based moves.
That is pretty limiting, but yeah, I mean, if that's the rules, then that's the breaks, man. That's what you gotta do. Unless you can come up with a fun benefit for the team. Like if they're allowed to do something special that other Pokemon can't, or that you wouldn't typically be allowed to do in a Nuzlocke.
Okay. Cleric. First initial idea with it. Don't know how to expand on it. But clerics choose a god. So why don't you choose a legendary? You only can catch Pokemon and stuff revolving around that legendary
type. Like maybe around the typing of it?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Is there...
well, I think clerics, I also think healers. So all of it would be about healing.
So maybe you can use something like a life do or recover.
Yeah. Any health leeching moves would be good.
You can't use dark or ghost. Can't use any types like that, moves or Pokemon.
I can see that.
Yeah. I like the idea of like here's your sort of and maybe that's your end game is when you catch that legendary. Oh, that's when you've beaten it. I like the idea of like this is your deity, so you have to have like build your team that somehow revolves around that thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. That's a pretty good one.
And the only other classes of just the straightforward like D&D classes are like monks and sorcerers. No, that's a little tricky.
What about this is a weird one. I just thought of this off the top of my head. What about a gnome? Wherein you can only use Pokemon under 3 feet tall. You can only use tiny Pokemon.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
That's fine because you have to work with a lot of preforms in that because you got to work with a lot of early stage ones. So,
like Sableye is a tiny little guy. Mm.
That one's really cool.
Yeah.
What else? What else we got? We need to address anything else before we're done here?
Unless you've got a game show for us, unless you're ready to quiz it up.
Yeah, we're already over an hour into it. Okay, we'll save the ghost type stuff for another time. Because
more gospel or gossip, I'm sure you've spent some time thinking about that.
I sure have
after
not.
The embarrassment of last week.
I am not going to just make things up.
Don't tell us there's a gospel or gossip, and then give us one.
I said,
yeah.
What a jerk. Way to show us the candy and not let us have any.
You know what I'm going to do next time? I'm going to say it's time for gospel or gossip. And then end a segment right there. There will be none. You have to prove that you've earned it. Do we want to pick a run through? Or do we want to save a run through for another time?
Let's think about it some other day because I still actually got a lot to do in the mainline games, so I wouldn't be starting this one up until probably
May,
I guess. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Next up is the mini show. We'll talk about it wherever we feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to have Tiny Tina's Wonderland and
Metroid. Right, exactly.
I mean, there's Elden Ring, but...
And Metroid, you're going to talk about some...
Maybe we could do a game night and you guys can experience Elden Ring.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Again, this guy's just... He's like, I got some meth for you. You want to try?
Come on.
And then, the retro show. We'll have the retro show, which will be really good. Another really good retro show.
This is actually, like, the worst month we've had in a long time.
As far as, like, movies and music?
All of it's bad. Everything's bad. Games are bad, too.
This is going to be enjoyable. Just amazing. To bash shit this month.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to bad games.
There's, like, 10 movies, and, like, none of them are worth talking about. There's a ton of albums that are
Name a couple right now. So we have a...
Joe Dirt, Freddy Got Fingered.
it's going to be so amazing.
Driven, the Stallone Racing movie.
God.
Yeah. So a couple decent ones, like Blow came out. Mm-hmm. I actually already watched Josie and the Pussycats and Bridget Jones's Diary, so I'll talk about those. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. There's a lot of movies, and God, they were bad. we should not look ahead. I made the mistake of looking ahead. May is going to blow the fucking doors off the year.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so May will be excited, but we got to still talk about April. Yeah. So. And again, do you look at the games? Do you have any games to talk about?
A couple.
I was so unimpressed by the lineup of games.
Mm. There's like an N64 game, and I think there might be a Game Boy game or two. But yeah. Nothing too amazing.
And there's a bunch of it. Like, the albums are not really worth talking about that much, though.
So. Hmm. That might be a rare, brief retro show.
We'll find a way to go along, I'm sure. You haven't done any of your, thankfully, you haven't done any of your breakdowns of what's been going on in the world of X-Men.
Oh, now you've earned it. Now you deserve to know what's going on.
Right. Nobody's really doing sportsy type stuff, really, at this time of year, are they, either? Because football season's over, basketball season hasn't.
Baseball have just started up in April.
So we're approaching... Kind of like right now, it's like you're just now ending the regular season of basketball, and the playoffs start in like April. So unless anyone gave a shit about March Madness back then, which of course they didn't, it's whatever.
Mm. But yeah, it'll be a good one anyway. It'll be a good time.
True.
But that's it. That's the end. Until next time.
So long.
Bye-bye.